Oh, in Jesus' name, Lord, just break down the strongholds. Lord, in Jesus' name, just break down the walls. Lord, in Jesus' name, I'm so thankful. Lord, let us just lay aside the weights. God, whom you have made free is free indeed. God, let us quit believing a lie somehow, some way that we're chained by something. There is nothing that chains a child of God. It's a matter of just saying, Lord, I believe and I'm laying it down. Now, God, we thank you for the assurance of your love and your faithfulness and your power and your might, thank God. Your wisdom, Lord, your enabling, Lord God, your mighty hand, Lord God. And I thank you it's all in the blood of Jesus that pours right forth on that mercy seat. And Lord, let it just be our gaze till you come, the praise till you come, the blood, the power in the blood, the power in the mercy of God. Thank you, Lord, for your great salvation. And Lord, may it be on to the glory of that salvation with eternal glory. Lord, it's for us. You've meant it. God, you've given, you've enabled, it's your power, it's your provision, it's your purpose that you have given us all in your Son. Let us believe you today. Let us praise you, God. Oh, even a little bit more with all that is within us. Grow this wineskin. Pour more wine in. God, let the power and your might and the anointing, Lord Jesus, just pour forth on your people in that great love wherewith we are loved. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Open your Bibles to Judges chapter 6 this morning. I'm going to speak a little bit and rejoice in the life and the encouragement of God's faithfulness in our brother Gideon. And it's Judges chapter 6, and we'll begin reading from verse 12. And it says there in verse 12, and this is when Gideon is called by God. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon, and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now that is quite an introduction, isn't it? That is quite an accommodation. That is quite an anointing. Praise God. And the Lord said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us. Isn't that something? Here's the Lord talking to him. Right there, encouraging him. And how does Gideon answer him? If the Lord be with us. Oh, here we go. You know what this is all about. My unbelief, yours too. Why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles? Oh, my goodness. Isn't it amazing that he wasn't just made a little spot after that moment? You'd think, Lord, you're dealing with the likes of that kind of unbelief? Amen. Everybody here, praise be to God. That's our precious Jesus. And he said, so, you know, then why has all this befallen us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Think of this guy. I mean, you talk about unbelief just pouring over, doubting all of this. And God still says, you go in this thy might. And it's not only going to be you're going to watch it, you're going to be encouraged that thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, oh my Lord, how am I going to save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. I mean, you're talking about the lowest of the low on the wrong side of the tracks. And, you know, you can put the picture in that one. And he said unto him, if now I have found, in 16 it says, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Think of that. Well, the Lord's really encouraged him. He's really come at him. He said, no, come on, I've got you. I've got you. You're my choice. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talks with me. You know, I could almost see the Lord going, what? That's what I've been doing. I've told you this. But God, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made a ready kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. And the flesh he put in a basket. And he put the broth in a pot, brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon the rock, pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, touched in the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, and you're thinking that Gideon's believing God at this moment. Listen to what the angel has to, and what the Lord has to tell him. Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Gideon was not praising him for, again, answering his request. Gideon was fearing again for his own life. Oh no, not only, you know, it wasn't about the faithfulness of God, it was about, I saw the face of, oh, I'm going to die. So it was fear again. Come on now. We're reading about our lives here, amen? Jump on over to verse 36. And Gideon said unto the man of God, now again, after all of this, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand as thou hast said, oh my goodness, the patience of God. So now Gideon's got another idea. I need more evidence. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. So I'm going to take this cloth, I'm going to lay it on the floor, okay? And if the dew on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece a bowl of water. So everything was dry, but all that water was right in that fleece, just like he asked God to do. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Oh my goodness. Just one more time. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. So we're going to do this again, but just in case it was an accident. I'm going to put the fleece out there again, but let's switch it this time. So now, instead of making the fleece wet, I want the fleece dry, and I want the ground wet. And what did God do? And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Now you go into the next chapter, and that is that wonderful encouragement of when he's going to take him down and defeat those Midianites. And Gideon has 22,000 men, all right? And God says, you know what? There's just too many for me to give you the Midianites. So we're going to whittle this down. Whittles it down, and finally ends up with 300. So he's going to go down, and he's going to take care of these thousands and thousands of enemies with 300 men. And God encourages him, tells him that. So the night before he's going to go down there and do that, God wants to show him something great. He wants to give him a real personal look at what God's going to do for him the next morning. And if you go to chapter 7 and verse 9, and this is when God says to Gideon, he says, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto Gideon, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thy hands. All right? But here's what God says to him. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host. So again, I want you just to go down there, but if you're still going to fear, why don't you go get Purah and take him down? And what does Gideon do? Then he went down with Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. So he still, can you imagine that? He still can't believe God. So here we've come to Gideon. And you have to think about all the incredible testimonies that God has given. And I'm talking about given to Gideon personally. But again, let's put ourselves in this place with Gideon. Think of the host that we have been so favored to hear of the Word of God all of our lives. The incredible testimonies of faith that went before Gideon. Just to name a few. How about Noah believing God to build an ark in the middle of the desert? And always remember this. It had never rained upon the earth. So they didn't even know what rain was. It just water would come up from the earth and water things. And everything was good. But he said, in the middle of this desert, I know you've never seen a rainstorm. Actually, you've never even seen rain. But I'm going to make it rain so much that it'll be like never before. But I want you to go ahead and build this ark that's going to take you 100 years to build. And go ahead and build it right there. And you know what Noah did? He believed God. And he built that ark. But then, how about Abraham? There he waited for that son that God promised him all that time. And then the Lord encouraged in Abraham, you're going to sacrifice that son to me. And Abraham went. And Abraham followed through with God, and God again prepared that ram. How about David, the boy, believing God to defeat Goliath? And yet here we get to Gideon. He is the guy who really, really, really has a hard time believing God. And that's an understatement. He needs extra encouragement. He needs extra grace to believe the Lord. But here's the beautiful thing. It's not hard for God. It is not hard for God. And you know what? Matter of fact, God knew it. Can you imagine this? That God did not make a mistake in choosing Gideon. Gideon did not catch God unaware. Gideon was always God's man. Gideon was always God's man. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, remember it. It is not how you get there. What matters is that you get there. Did you hear that? Sometimes we're so concerned about how we think we need to get there. But the only thing that matters, just get there. God knew exactly who Gideon was. God knew exactly who he was dealing with when he was dealing with Gideon. He knew his downsetting. He knew his uprising. He knew his thought afar off. And his thought, as we see, was unbelief pretty much 24/7. You come on Wednesday nights? How about them disciples, huh? And there was Jesus, just joyous as ever. Oh, Father, you gave me these of such great faith. That'd leave you scratching your head. But this is God. He doesn't choose the mighty. He doesn't choose the wise. This is exactly who he chooses. Praise be to God. See, brothers and sisters, we have to remember this. All that mattered is Gideon was God's choice. And that's the only factor in your life. It's just like you. It's just like me. I'm God's choice. I'm God's choice. Praise the Lord. I have to get over my unbelief and believe in God's choosing. I need to believe in God's grace and in God's mercy. I need to believe in God's ability. Isaiah 55:11 assures us this, brothers and sisters. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void unto me, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. See, the Lord is sending his word out today, right now. And he's brought you here to hear this. And it will prosper in the thing that I have sent it. Oh, hallelujah. Do you see why we need to hear the word of God? See, that word of God doesn't return void. I said that about my mom many times in here. She kept reading the word of God at that table every single morning, whether I wanted to hear it or not. And it wasn't going to be in her jamming it down or getting mad at me. You listen to this word of God. It wasn't that at all. She trusted God. She read it in love. And I'm telling you, whether it was osmosis, I don't know how it got there, but I know it's all by the grace of God. It got there. And there were times, I'm sure, not only she was wondering, I was wondering. My goodness, Lord, are we going to get there? Don't you think Gideon was thinking time and time again, I have no faith. That's right, Gideon. You don't have any faith, but it's my faith. It's my faith. See, we live by the faith of what? The Son of God. I don't live by the faith of Jesse. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise be to God. I believe in that new man that lives in my life. See, if I have confidence in my faith and my believing, I'm in trouble because it's going to stop. It's going to fail. But I thank God that he is able. I'm so thankful to the Lord that the victory has already been given to me. See, and I'll tell you what, man, this is so beautiful. Even though Gideon had a really hard time believing God, even though Gideon had a really hard time, I don't even know. Did Gideon rest in God? I don't really know. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I do know this, he believed. Oh, yes, he did. And you know he believed so much. If you go on over to Hebrews 11:32, and if you know much about the Word of God, the 11th chapter of Hebrews is the Faith Hall of Fame. And you know who you read about in Hebrews 11:32? Gideon. He's listed right there with Noah, and right there with Abraham, and right there with David. All of them worthies of faith. This pitiful, doubting brother, he may have taken a roundabout way to get there, but let me tell you something, he got there. And he got there because of the faithfulness of God that the word prospered in the thing that God sent it to. I'm going to ask you, has God sent you word? Has God sent you word? Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. You might be thinking somehow, some way that, this doesn't apply, and I'm going to believe the Word of God. I don't want to believe my thoughts. I don't want to believe your comments. I want to stand on the faithfulness and the promises of God. He said, it's going to prosper in the thing that I sent. Now, I have to tell you, it's been in some of the blatant times of my unbelief. And I'm talking about blatant times. You know what blatant times are? When you have, well, first of all, we never have an excuse. But I'm talking when God has been so merciful and God has been so gracious, like just what we've been reading, but yet we still don't believe. I'm talking about truly like, and let's just not pick on Gideon. We could go through everyone in the Word of God here. But I was thinking about God giving me miracles just like he gave to Elijah. Elijah got all of those precious miracles. And then one of the greatest ones that God performed for his life gave him so much strength and confidence when he knew he was the only prophet of God at that time. And he went to Ahab and he said, okay, this is it. This has gotten to be too wicked of a time. You bring out all of those 450 prophets of Baal and we're going to go at it. And we're going to see whose God is God. And he brought out those prophets, and those prophets, they went first. And the test was they would bring forth this sacrifice, and whoever's God would consume it with fire, that would be the God. That would be the God that they would follow. And everybody agreed. So there came those 450 prophets of Baal, and they went out there and they put that sacrifice on that altar, and they went out there and they hollered and they cut themselves, and they were cutting themselves so much that blood was gushing forth. And then old Elijah said, I guess your God has taken a break. Actually, he said, I guess your God, it might be going to the bathroom. That's exactly what it means. He gave it to him just like it is. Because you have no God, because there be but one God. And then there was Elijah, and he says, okay, Lord. And it was always in the name of the Lord thy God. Know that. It was always in the name of the... See, it's never changed. Even though that encouragement, even though that... He knew what God was going to do. It was still, oh Lord, in the name, in Jesus' name. And we have the name, in Jesus' name. Everything we do, everything we ask, in Jesus' name. And so there he went. He said, okay, you. And he said that altar was broken down. See, they hadn't had an altar for a long time. So they got that broken altar and they just put it together real quick. And they put that sacrifice on there. And they had four big barrels of water. And Elijah said, okay, take them four barrels and you dump all that water on that sacrifice. So they dumped it all out there. And they had like a little trench around it as well too. And he says, okay, let's do it again. And by this time you think those people think, this guy is nuts. They did it three times, taking all those four big barrels of water and just dumping that water to where the water was just running down all over that thing. There was no way any fire was going to bang. And God just took it. That fire came down and consumed it all in a moment. And then they took those prophets and they went out there and they slew every single one of them. Amazing, wasn't it? But it probably wasn't even a day, maybe 2 days later, that Elijah is laying under a tree saying, Lord, take my life. This woman Jezebel is going to kill me. Can you imagine that? Yes, you can. Because again, that's your life. And that's been my life many times, especially as of late, in seeing God's incredible miracles. That yet, oh my goodness, Lord, where am I with you? But brothers and sisters, that's what I'm telling you. It's been in those places of unbelief when he still feeds me, when he still encourages me, when he still loves me, that I've grown in an appreciation and knowledge like no other times in my life. And all I can do is say, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. That's when I know you. That's when I know it's you. It's not me. There's times by your grace I do walk, and I walk on high mountaintops. But I'm telling you, it's when you send me into those valleys and those dark places. And I'm telling you, those places where, yep, I'm getting afraid down here. But then he just, you know, he comforts me. He's hugging me. He doesn't just tap me. He's holding me. He says, oh, honey, remember I put this, see this staff in your hand? There's no fear down here. Perfect love all over your life, son. There's no fear down here. But see, that's where I've grown with him. See, and I don't mean that I'm going to go out there and try to just be slow to believe. But here's what I'm saying. When I do, when I'm doubting, I'm going to tell you something. By the grace of God, I'm going to recall those times that he comforted me. I'm going to remember those times that he abided faithful, that he waited on me, he fed me, until I said, Lord, I believe. Amen? Come on now. This is something to really be thankful about. Because I don't care who we are out here. God is working faith in your life right now. And I know it. And I know there's situations. And I am so grateful to God. As I expressed to a brother this morning, the last couple weeks, I am just praising him. He's teaching me the glory and the praise in waiting. In waiting upon God. In believing him that he's going to do it. And not being anxious for anything. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, when he brings this mercy and grace and makes it so evident, those are the times of, wow, Jesus, you are just, you are, your way. I love that when my son said that. Oh, he's way, Papa, he's way. And he is way. I'm just so thankful. See, that's the encouragement of the love of Jesus. But now, the Lord gave me one last thought in this. Because there still might be some of us sitting out here today thinking, okay, you know what? I am just like Gideon. You know what? I am in need of extra care to believe God, and pretty much always. But I read about these ones in the Word of God, and I'm telling you, I've had people tell me these things in different instances and testifying to them of God's faithfulness. They'll try to make excuses just like you do, just like I do. And here we could say, well, you know, Gideon had a special calling. Gideon had a specific battle that he was to win. And he knew that battle. And God told him specifically what his purpose was. And you always follow that, what about me? Well, I'm going to tell you about you. You've got even a more precise. I'm going to tell you about you. You've got even a more special and clear and exact calling to follow. Matter of fact, you've got the most valuable purpose there could ever be to God. And I'm here to let you know that God has told each and every one of us here today what it is and what to do. And it's to follow Paul as he followed Christ. Now that can either cut you one of two ways. You can either almost not be able to sit in your pew right now and say, thank you, Jesus, I know this. Or you could wrestle with that and say, well, that's not for me. Well, you know what? You're always going to be unstable, like Peter always said. Paul said some things that were hard to be understood. And you know, not just hard to be understood, just hard to settle down with. Just hard to just sit there and say, you know what, Lord, I believe you. To them that wrestle. To them that will be unstable. Because somehow, some way, I'm picking and choosing to believe certain things in the Word of God. But I just won't take all the Word of God. Huh? And you really think about that. If the Word of God is the Word of God, which it is the Word of God, should we not take all the Word of God? If we go to church to hear the Word of God, would I only want to hear a little of the Word of God? Or would I want to hear all the Word of God? If God is who really God is, and I believe that I am a son of God because of the blood of Jesus, which I know is true, and I know that, praise God, he said, I want you to grow up. And I want you to grow up into me in all things. See, isn't that something he said, into me? Because you can't grow up into anything else but him, because it's his life that lives in you. That's the only me that lives in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, I understand the vessel's so beautiful. We all reflect him differently and all of these different things. But I'm going to tell you, it's the same treasure in each one of us. It's him. But we can wrestle with these things and we can be unstable with these things. But so sweet and so wonderful to know your purpose. And not only to know your purpose, to know God's purpose. To know God's calling, and not only God's calling, but God's high calling. And then to have it as only God and the true God could only do. The simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Follow Paul as he followed me. I gave him that dispensation. I gave him that revelation. This was something hidden from the prophets. It was hidden from the sons of men. This is the mystery of Christ Jesus in the church. This is the bride that my son will have. I tell people this and they said, well, where does it say that? In the Bible. Really? Yes, matter of fact, many places in the Word of God. But could you imagine, those are things all told us in Paul's epistles, in Paul's writings. But see, then you start to understand them and see them in Paul's writings. Then you see the type and the shadow, those hidden things all over the Old Testament. It's like a treasure trove that you just walked in and, oh my goodness. I just read of a story. Oh, my hair's standing up right now. I just read of a story of, man, I just thought that Isaac and Rebecca thing was such a great love story. I thought the Song of Solomon was just amazing. I even took some of those out, you know, and I wrote poems to my girlfriends. I'm just being facetious here. I didn't do that. But I know somebody out here did. But when you grow in Paul's gospel, you realize that was written to you. That's yours. That's your courtship. That's his proposal to you. The purpose, the calling, follow Paul. Mark them, as it even said, that follow Paul as he followed Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, it is so wonderful. You talk about even a battle. People say, well, I don't really know what to do. You know what you do? You fight the good fight of faith. And the battle, you got the same battle. It is. It's the same good fight of faith. It's just like Paul. Paul was fighting to follow Paul's gospel. Paul even said, if I come back here and I preach anything else unto you, let me be accursed. This was given unto me, but it doesn't mean that I don't need the grace every moment to go on with it. I still need to be enabled by the grace of God. As Paul even said there at the end, he said, oh, of all these marvelous things and all these things that I've done, it wasn't me, it was the grace of God that is with me. It's the grace of God that's with you. But it's that same all-enabling grace that will perform it just like Paul. It won't be any different. Grace can't lose. Grace can't be defeated. It cannot. And we have all the sufficient grace. We have it always in all fullness of supply to superabound. Superabound. See, that's the more than conquerors through Christ. How much confidence do you have in the grace of God? See, I quit worrying anymore. Am I going to be ready when Christ comes? Am I going to be in the bride? I quit worrying about that. Grace takes care of that. I believe in the grace of God that is with me, that'll grow me up into Him from glory to glory, the transformation of the sons of God. How far are you willing to step out, huh? I'm just carried by it anymore. How about you? But see, brothers and sisters, that's just it. You fight the good fight of faith because you were just like Paul. We follow his gospel. Even when others discourage you, even when you don't feel like it, even when you don't know, well, Lord, is it really for me? Even when things try to tempt me to take me away from it, fight, fight, fight. Brothers and sisters, and it's the same reward. See, there's nothing different. God doesn't have favorites. If you're a child of God, you've got His favorite. You're highly favored. And He wants one thing. He wants the best for that child. I've only got two. There's no difference in the love I have for them. I want them both to have it all. I want them both to grow up to be the men of God that only God can make them. But how much more the perfect love of God that's perfect always, that's for your life, that's for my life. And praise be to God, as Paul said, and my reward, the crown of righteousness. And my reward, that exalted rank of righteousness. But he said, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And oh my, his appearing in here. What appearing have you seen in here of him? Have you seen him appearing leaping over the hills? Huh? Have you seen his appearing as you've been on that camel and you kind of see those raven locks of his head running around as he's coming over that hill? You better begin to see an appearing. And you better begin to love that appearing. Because the vision you have is the vision that will be. The relationship you have with him here is the relationship you're going to have with him over there. If I'm a child here, I'm going to be a child over there. If I'm somewhere kind of, you know, grown up a bit, I'll be grown up a bit over there. But I'll tell you what, there's a company that's going to be in the all, in the fullness, in the measure, and the stature, in that perfect completeness, as our sister sang, that'll be like him glory. Like him glory. And she'll be his glory for all to see. Praise be to God. You think the grace of God can do that in your life? I know the grace of God can do that in your life. I know there might be some that have heard this a long time that I'm praying by in Jesus' name. The light went on this morning. Again, that is mine. But let that light just go on and on every morning. And then there might be some that just heard this the first time. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, Brother Paul, he heard it the first time too on a road to Damascus. And there wasn't a lot of time to waste, was there? The transformation of the sons of God. I leave that keeping to him. And as I say, the transformation and the learning curve of the love of Jesus, put no limit on it. You think you're somewhere on the race course, you're going to be looking at a lot of behinds real quick. Let's run and run well, amen. Believe in the grace of God. Understand it. Sure, that's the good fight of faith. There's nothing that pleases God any more than that. I know you're grappling maybe with something right now. Man, something that was spoken this morning. Lord, I've heard that, but you know, I just getting over that threshold. Well, you're never going to get over the threshold. You got to be like the bride. Let the groom carry you over the threshold. Until you get that, it ain't going to be you that takes you across there. It's his desire. Amen. Aren't you thankful you came to realize his desire? That was that Song of Solomon. That was the Shulamite. And that's what she finally said. I am my beloved's. I'm just his. And it's his desire that's towards me. That's the disciple that was the disciple that was the shining one. And it was John. And why? Because all he could run around and say, I'm the disciple that Jesus loves. I'm sure that bothered every other disciple too, wasn't it? Wait a second, he loves me too. Oh, that's, yep. But this is my deal with Jesus. Now you have yours. But I'm the disciple that Jesus loves. Isn't he grand? Isn't he wonderful? Well, let's praise him. Thank you, God. Let's just stand and worship him. Come if you want to come and pray. I believe you want to come and pray. Come and pray. Let's just pray and thank him and say, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you.